It's Reality Bites. Every episode on the Believe Podcast Network, I sit down and talk about what most people are forced to watch by a loved one multiple times a week in this great country of ours, reality television. Most people pretend not to like it or admit that they watch it, but I force them to talk about it on Reality Bites. I'm Rob Evers, your sports-loving, beer-chugging, girl-chasing host who just happens to be obsessed with reality TV. Today, my guests are Alexis Jones-Boswell and Megan Barry. Hey, girls. How you doing?
Hi.
Thank you so much for doing this, by the way. I'm really, really excited about this this episode. Alexis, you are the director of casting and talent at All 3 Media.
Yes, I am.
Which is one of the biggest reality TV production companies in the world.
It's a very large company. We are UK-based, but we have an American office. We have 12 production companies in-house.
Okay, so you guys are like a bigger house that houses smaller production companies.
Correct. It's like a hub.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. And you are also the director of casting and talent. So you worked on shows such as The Circle, Undercover Boss, Dating No Filter, Chrisley Knows Best, The People's Couch, and The Real World, one of the original best reality TV shows of all time, The Real World.
Of all time.
Yeah. And then Megan, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So you're a casting director for reality TV, and you've worked on Big Brother, Top Chef, Project Runway, 24 Hours to Hell and Back, and Dating No Filter, and one of my favorites, Catfish.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was fun, but hard.
Working on Catfish?
Yes.
I have so many questions for both of you. This is so exciting. I'm so excited. I know I've told you this before when I first came in, but I'm so excited for this episode because usually what I do is I find like an episode of like The Bachelor or, you know, Big Brother or something, and we'll talk about the cast and all that other stuff, and we'll kind of just talk about what everybody else is watching throughout America and then just give our opinions about it, whoever my guest is. But this is the first time that we're doing behind the scenes, BTS, hashtag BTS, not the boy band from Asia.
Or nice, PTSD.
Yeah.
Something.
I just found out what ILY stands for.
Is that I love you?
I love you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like acronyms 101, I think.
People be like, they text that to somebody and I'd be like, who the fuck's Lily? Yeah, I'm pretty bad at all that shit.
Same.
All that other stuff.
I'm the worst.
This Lily, is but, isn't it an I?
I don't know. But it looks like a capital I and then a little like, or yes. Capital
no,
L,
makes
little
sense.
I.
Lowercase L.
Yeah,
it makes
yeah.
sense. I get
yeah.
it. Yeah, there's still so many that I don't even understand, but I pretend to know. And then I Google them on
and
the
then
side.
You Google them, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people don't even talk. Anyway.
We're old.
Well, you guys are dealing with a lot of kids in the casting world, right? You don't, very rarely do you cast anybody above the age of 30.
I mean, it depends.
Depends what show it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
But let's talk about where you guys come from and where, like, it all started and how you even got into this. Because this is, like I said, I'm really excited. Alexis, you're a producer,
so
right?
I don't know. I'm a lot of things. I'm a Jane of all trades.
Okay.
I started out in casting as a casting producer. And then I, at All 3... 6 years ago.
Right.
And I haven't left.
What's the difference between a casting producer and casting director? Because I hear that a lot.
It's basically the same. I mean, it's
a casting director a lot of times oversees
all
the producers and the associates.
Right, right.
You're like the lead of the show.
Right. Okay. So you're like the lead that everybody kind of reports to.
So like a casting director will go to if you guys are going to like other towns or whatnot, right? You're going to Philadelphia to cast something.
The producers would do that.
Producers go. Okay. So you don't. So. But like you guys have associates that will go do like all the like minimal work and then bring people to you and be like, what do you think about this person? And then that's when you start doing the real process with them.
The producers do the associates a lot of times like find them, then give them to the producers to do the interviews. And then once the interviews are done, kind of the director watches, looks over everything.
And, gotcha.
And that's like on a case-by-case basis. So like basically every show is different.
Yeah.
So and the way that it all works, for instance, at my company, not that I own this company.
The company your company.
The company
Alexis
I work for.
Alexis Jones-Boswell now owns All 3 Media. You heard it here first, people.
Breaking news.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, congrats.
I mean, kind of a big deal. So when I started, I was actually in production. So I started out working as a PA on Cupcake Wars.
Oh.
Which was like
love
the best.
That shit.
I was working kind of as a talent wrangler. So that's like at the very the very entry level of casting. Working with talent, managing them, making sure they're getting from point A to point B, keeping them calm, keeping them hydrated, all those things.
So you're saying, like, let's take, sorry, there's a very loud motorcycle going by. Welcome to Hollywood.
Right.
But let's say that, like, somebody's in the running for Amazing Race or Survivor. Right. Right. Now, we all know that you go to a certain point and then you get sequestered.
Yes.
Right?
In a hotel.
Right, in a hotel
room. And a talent wrangler is managing them while they're inside the hotel room.
Right. Making sure they go to
they
the producer's
meeting. They don't see each other, right. That they're going to the right auditions at the right time for shoots and stuff like that.
Takes them to the gym. Yeah. Gives them food.
Yeah.
Like, gets them out of their room.
Basically does everything except for, like, wipe their ass.
Yeah. So, like, would you guys... So, say I was going to be on Survivor. Mm-hmm. You obviously... You're not sequestered too. So like,
sort of.
That's
stay,
what I'm saying.
You like, stay with them. The hotel.
But would you two be like on double duty?
I have done it before in the past. I don't do that now.
Yeah,
I love it. Finals weeks are my favorite things in the world.
What I'm saying is like, because Alexis, you would probably have to go home at some point or go to sleep.
Well, go to sleep.
Yeah,
right. But then like, what if I'm like, oh, fuck it.
There's an overnight person.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's like there's two people that would basically be tag teaming. That sounds inappropriate.
Just the perks of reality TV.
The casting couch.
So that's good.
The casting couch comes into play. No, but there's two people that will basically take care of someone. One person or a few people on the cast. That's kind of the entry level of casting. And then you become an associate. An associate, like Meg said, does a lot of the research. They find a lot of the people. They do a lot of the outreach, which is how we kind of find. And we'll tell you more about that in a little bit.
Right.
Teaser.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
Then a producer will come in, interview, and do the actual Skype or in-person audition. And then if there is a casting director on the project, which sometimes there are, sometimes they're not, the casting director will basically decide who's going to be going through to the network.
Got it.
So it's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Right.
So the editor doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
You guys have to do all the editing and stuff, right?
Yes. I don't edit.
Right.
But we sit with the editors and, like, figure out the story and see, like, all that kind of stuff.
So you are...
So back to what I do.
Right.
Yeah. Besides
that took
own
a minute.
The company so
besides
that
own
for.
One of the biggest
yeah.
company
yeah.
production companies
no.
in the world.
So I got in as a producer, and I was working solely on freelance shows. That's how also it works. We're all freelancers.
Okay.
And they ended up keeping me on board and making me a staff position where I basically oversee all of the casting teams for all of the opcos that we have internally.
She's my boss when I work there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I am sort of her boss. I'm also
She
more
owns the company.
Exactly.
We've established this. You're everybody's boss.
My boss.
But yeah, so I oversee all of them. And in turn, I kind of also manage more of the creative side of things.
Okay.
So I get to watch edits. I get to help the casting director if there's one, myself and Rich Lees, too, is our VP of casting. He's my boss. He and I basically kind of go through things and make decisions to go on to the network. So it works a little differently in-house.
Got it.
But when you're working, like, show to show, it's different. You have a different team.
Which is what you do.
I'm freelance.
Yes. Okay. She's freelance.
So you're freelance. So you'll work on Big Brother, right?
And then I'll move on to Super Nanny. And then I'm, you know, like, yeah, it's...
And you're all over the place. So there's not like a specific, you're not like, I'm really good at casting 600 pound women.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? For
That's
TLC,
really hard.
You have right?
To it's really hard.
You have to
be
like
able
move.
To know how to do everything.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So what shows are you guys watching now? What reality shows are you guys involved in? Like not working on, but like when you're like kicking up your feet and you're like, I'm going to watch some crazy people today. What are your shows that you watch? Do you watch any?
I'm a huge like secret Southern Charm fan.
Oh, love Southern Charm.
I love that show.
I always I say on every one of my podcasts,
so
Andy
good.
Cohen can do no wrong.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
I love all
so
of their
good.
Shows.
I love, you know, I love the Housewives, obviously, franchise. Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills is probably my favorite. New York is a close second.
New York's coming back soon.
I know.
We're excited.
We're excited about that. I watch Vanderpump Rules.
Right.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Vanderpump's your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been with those people for 8 years now, eight seasons, so it's, like, hard not to get attached. It's same with the Real Housewives, right?
Right.
All those people. I'm like, everything. This is why I have this, because, like, I have a shirt that says No Soggy Bottoms, and that's, you know, the Great British Baking Show. That's my ringtone.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I love, you know, Cupcake Wars, like you said. Top Chef is one of my, I get so excited about Top Chef when we do that, you know.
Yeah.
But I watch everything. So it's interesting to see. What do you watch? Just Vanderpump and that's it?
No, I watch like a lot of.
Yeah. A lot of stuff?
I mean, it's everywhere on television. You can't avoid it. You know, Chopped is on, what was that, Kids Kitchen? What's the one with the kids? The Kids Chopped. I love that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one's good on the Food Network.
Kids Master Chef.
I think that was actually one of our shows.
Really?
I don't remember.
Okay, so let me ask you, Alexis. Take us through like what it's like. So I come in with an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I, how, so then what happens?
So basically, we are, our CEO, our actual CEO,
right.
Tells us and gives us the directive of trying to bring in new talent. And that could be anywhere from someone that we find on Instagram to someone that has a show idea like you.
Right.
You and I have had this conversation in the past.
Right.
And I would then bring that person in for a meeting and we would listen to their pitch, basically, what their idea for the show is, see if there's anything out there like it, see if there's anything that's been done like that before, try to guide in the right direction of how you could get it sold. And then we would partner you with one of our production companies if we thought it was a good fit for all three. So I would kind of be like a little bit of a network, a door opener in some senses, to introduce you to someone that could actually take the reins and produce the show with you side by side.
Right.
And that could be anywhere from someone that you think is an amazing piece of talent, one person individually, or an idea concept, like something that you would actually go in and sell to a Netflix or to a Hulu or to a Disney Plus.
We had a concept that was good.
Yeah, great concept.
But it was based on the cast.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? So when the cast kind of was taken, you know what I mean? Which we still, hopefully, that fell through, and then we can come back to them.
There's always an end date on a contract.
Right, exactly. But that was the thing. We sat down with you, and then we were like, this is the concept. Based on these people, we would love to have you move forward. And then those people fell through, and then the whole thing kind of
has
been put on hold for a long time. But so then you take that, and then you take the cast, and then you have meetings with them, you put them with a production, and then it's kind of just... It just all kind of goes, then you start casting it.
I kind of like relinquish control at that point. I've made the introduction, and then the head of a production company and their team, their development team, will then work with you to develop out the concept.
Right.
And then they also have the reputation and also the connections to the networks. I have connections to the networks, but it's much more profitable and easier for y'all to go in with someone that has a really good relationship with a Netflix or a Hulu and has been already doing shows with them.
Yeah, because you've worked on almost every show. I mean, every network that has is known for reality TV. And now Netflix is getting known for it. I heard fucking Andy Cohen, when I say he couldn't do no wrong, I was so excited to watch. Sorry, I'm going to crack my Truly.
Absolutely. Delish. It's
Truly the best.
So good.
When I was mad at Andy Cohen because I really was psyched to watch The Circle, and then he had somebody on it as his bartender. You know how he has Watch What Happens Live?
Yeah. Yes.
And he's like, and you won. Yes. And I was like, what the fuck?
So The Circle is one of our shows.
Yeah, I know.
And it was probably one of the coolest shows that I've gotten to work on. Mainly because it was so different. And we worked with our counterparts in the UK. I mean, the show is actually a UK format.
Well, aren't most... I mean, Mark Burnett... Good shows. Right. Mark Burnett is... For people who don't know Mark Burnett, he's like the godfather of reality TV in America.
Yeah.
He basically took Survivor. He took... he didn't do Amazing Race. That was the other German guy. But he did... He's done a lot of really big... Did he do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? He did like a lot of reality competition shows and a lot of reality shows. And he brought, what he did was he just said, oh, wait, nobody in America watches British TV.
Right.
So I'm just going to take these concepts and bring them over to America.
Yeah. It's just like scripted. I mean, every British show that I watch on Netflix is unbelievable.
Is Big Brother his? Is Big Brother Mark Burnett?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
I don't think it is.
But he's like the man of all reality TV. That's a smart thing. And All Three Media is British, obviously. So it's almost like, in a way, British ideas and British idea people are the ones that kind of like run the whole industry out here.
Yeah. So he did Beat Shazam, Shark Tank, Survivor, The Voice, and The World's Best.
Oh, really?
He also worked on The Apprentice.
Yeah, The Apprentice was his.
Yep. That
was,
are you smarter than a fifth grader?
That's what it was. It was The Apprentice and Survivor that came over around the same time.
Right.
And then he was like, wait, everybody's like, Jesus, this is him again?
Yeah, he's the godfather, basically.
Yeah, he's the godfather of all American reality TV.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So then you take that and you make it. And
yeah,
and
but to your point of when you found out who the winner of the circle was, I mean, so we had to keep that on such, like, under such wraps. So not only was the casting so intense because we were going back and forth with the UK to work to pick out the perfect people that are right. going to be living in this
because it's
apartment.
Netflix, so it's yeah. not just American people.
Right.
It's like anybody around the world can stream this one
yes.
show.
Yes, yes.
So and it's not like Big Brother UK, which yeah. is different than Big Brother USA, which is Big Brother Canada, which is right. different than America's Good Next Top Model,
totally.
South Africa. 100%. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So this we had big shoes to fill from the UK version, and the US, I think, blew it out of the water, which was amazing for us, especially for our casting department, because we were behind that.
Right.
But I will say that it was also really interesting because you saw Netflix do something different with a reality show, a reality competition that then was released in multiple episodes, which fans were freaking out about because it wasn't this, oh, everything's going to be released in one season like Netflix normally does.
Right.
So then we had, and I'm not kidding you.
It was released one episode at a time?
No, it was released like three episodes
at a time.
Okay,
so you can binge, three but then you had to stop.
So you had to stop. Like, so it's like, you got a taste.
Right. So it's like before where they'd be like, here's a taste, here's a crumb of the cookie. We're going to yeah. give you a little crumb each point. To other times where people are like, here's the whole cookie.
Yeah.
Eat it wherever
exactly.
you
yeah.
want. Now it's like, we're going to give you three bites at a time. Then you got to come back.
Right. And then the Fanatics came out, right?
Okay.
So it was just, and it became insane. And one of my actual jobs was to monitor fake Facebook groups, fake Instagram pages of people that were saying they were actually Netflix's The Circle. And all of these people were like just chomping at the bit to talk about what was happening, which kind of also played into the fact that this was such a social media driven game.
Wow.
So it was really cool to kind of see that evolution. And then at the end, people all watched the finale and some, like you, didn't get to. And
I had that last episode left. That is it.
It was
and
blown.
And then he was the bartender. And I was like,
bullshit.
Well, there's no reason
I
for
was
me to watch
so
that
pissed.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. We should write letters.
You should write letters.
We should write letters.
I mean, it should be a thing where you'd be like, and he's he's like, it's not like he's just like on, you know, he's not, what's his nuts? The Anderson Cooper, who's
yeah.
just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this is his life. He knows reality TV. He knows about spoilers. He yeah. knows about all that
yeah.
other shit.
Yeah, he'd be pissed if this happened to him.
If
he
was a Bravo show and he like,
or at least do it 2 months from now where you gave people enough time
exactly.
to even know. Because it came out, what, in January?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. yeah.
It's the middle of February.
January 1st was the first.
It's the middle of February.
Yeah. It was nuts.
So anyway, we're pissed about him. But so, okay, that's so. That's awesome. So that's how that happens. And then that's when you come on, right? So
yeah.
then she'll have shows that she greenlit and then she gives it a production company. Do you recommend Meg?
I mean, I always recommend Meg.
I know,
I would love for Meg to be working by my side at any second of any day.
That
Meg
would
is
be great.
Meg is one of my best friends on top of working together.
Right.
She also is the reason why I know my husband.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean,
Aww.
She was a bridesmaid at my wedding.
Aww.
Yeah. Meg is also kind of the unofficial mayor of West Hollywood.
Yeah.
She's a dream.
Your dream.
Well, as
dream.
Oh, okay. This is. Should I leave?
She's trying
this
to find me
great.
A husband.
This
I
is,
am. This was.
This is what. This is
guys,
what we're doing. This
guys,
for.
DM me.
Seriously,
DM me at Forever's Evers
yeah.
if you want to meet Meg.
Meg is magic.
She's yeah.
She's my magic, Meg.
She's single. She's looking. You can find her at Barney's on a Sunday night if you want.
Yeah, probably.
She was probably. There. We were there last night. But Meg is someone that would come in, and mainly I am not, you know, the people that are responsible for greenlighting a show are going to be the networks. And once that happens, it's either in a pilot stage or a series. Sometimes it's even a presentation where we're trying to come up with like a proof of concept. Meg would come in and she would work as a producer and she would produce the shit out of it. Basically, she would help to find the people. She would then meet the people. And one of the shows that's probably my all-time favorites that Meg and I worked on together was Dating No Filter. And
yeah, tell me about that show, because out of the list that you both gave me, you both had that on it.
Yeah.
And as a reality TV show whore, yeah. I have
Didn't
never
it.
Seen it or heard of it, you know?
It was on E!
Oh, that might be why. I don't watch E!
Yeah. No. Well, it was actually a really fun show. It was super amazing.
Best interviews. It was just so much fun because it was quick, just easy. It's 30-minute dating shows. Two different dates are on in one episode. So it's just like young 20 somethings in LA just going on dates. So like the interviews are very easy.
So it's kind of like, was it like Blind Date?
It was just like Blind Date.
Okay.
Just like Blind Date.
All right.
But usually I'm working on shows that are like heavy. You know, you have to take in a lot. There's a lot of like dark stuff that goes on in people's lives but this was just like fun and talk about sex and
like legit she was outside of my office being like, so what's your favorite sex position?
Oh my God. I'm like, surprised that E did that because
you have giant balls? Tell me about those. These are the questions that she was asking. I was like, what is happening?
Well, that's got to be fun too. Ahead. No. This is the stuff that I'm interested in because you guys have to. E's very weird because like I'm starting to realize where everything belongs as far as networks go. Do you know what I mean? When I was pitching our show, right? That I was realizing like, okay, we can't do Bravo because it has.
Sorry, there's a dog here.
No, that's little Tank. He's amazing. He's so cute. Look at his face. But Bravo is like they want you want you're better than, right? So people tune in because they're like, oh, this is how that side of life lives. Yep. But they also have their own issues.
Yep.
E was very you have to be a celebrity.
Right.
Right? And you have to have a celebrity involved. So would you have celebrities on that show, Dating No Filter?
No.
We probably could have done like a celebrity edition.
I could
that I would watch. Yeah. I would watch that. I want to see how like, celebrities are dating in Hollywood. I mean, I watch it all the time, but if you have two egos going at each other,
would have been great.
And Meg knows how big his balls are.
Yeah, exactly.
Giant. They're usually giant, but that's the story.
Okay, well, so this brings me to my next point. You guys have worked on some of the best shows, but so when Andy and I have talked about this, I've talked about this multiple times on my podcast, which is I worked at Saddle Ranch in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
And Saddle Ranch is a, you know, obviously for people who don't know, but Saddle Ranch is a bar on Sunset Boulevard. It's a very touristy, there's a bull you can ride, there's big drinks, it's very yeehaw. There's cotton candy. It's a very touristy,
yes,
country western bar spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was like if you were on a reality show, and then the reality show was over, you got dropped off at the Saddle Ranch to become a bartender or a waiter.
Right? Exactly.
Right.
I used to love going just to see that.
And the main people that were there were Real World and Road Rule people.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And these people were fucking insane. Yeah. And I became friends with all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
I'm sure.
Because we worked with all of them. Yeah. I dated a few, you know? And I remember being drunk with like Adam and, you know, Blair and Adam Larson and then like Trishelle and Katie and all of them. And
Trishelle was one of my favorites.
I love Trishelle. I still talk to Trishelle today, you know. But like these people were, you know, very forthcoming with stuff. And they would tell me about the casting process. And now I don't know if this is still a truth right now. But so, all right. So I need you guys to like help me with this myth.
What's up?
I heard, and even till today with like The Bachelor, Catfish, right? Which I really want to get into, but we're talking about Real World and Road Rules right now. But I heard that the crazier you are. Okay, this is what they told me. This is what they told me. Tank, these are my cowboy boots.
I know. His father's coming to get him.
No, that's fine.
No, Tank. Look at his father.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
I just texted him. I was like, come grab him right now.
I thought you were fixing your shoe or something. Yeah, I didn't know what was happening.
I knew it was the dog.
It's the leather.
He does. He's a Texas dog right there.
He's a Texas dog. He's like, I'm going to eat these. Yeah. I wear cowboy boots, people. I wear cowboy boots. They're my outdoor slippers, and I love them. So this is what they told me. They said that you have to give a psych test, right?
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of tests.
Oh, 100%.
You have to give a psych test. I want to know if I'm truly crazy.
You are. Definitely not never, crazy.
Crazy. No, and I want to really badly.
Well, and that's,
pay to
it's really expensive.
It's expensive.
Okay,
it's
so
really expensive this to do is, this. But we have to test everyone. That's another part of my job.
Right, you have to test everyone. We have to test them sexually, right? Especially Big Brother.
It depends on if it's a house show.
If you're living together. If you're laying in a bed potentially at any point, then there needs to be STD testing.
Right, and that's usually now in Hollywood, you can be like, give me the reality show test. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, and the doctors would be like, oh, you want the full panel?
Yes.
Like, just give me the full panel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I did a show, so I cast it and then I went in and I was the cast manager. So I was in with them and everything. Part of my job was giving out herpes medication.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like that was every day. I'd have to go and give them their Valtrex.
Oh
yeah,
my god!
Yeah, I mean, our job is probably one of the most interesting jobs,
right,
on the planet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Every day is different.
Getting
you
people
talk
drunk
about
and giving herpes medicine.
Yeah,
you talking about? Like,
I've had to like dismiss warrants for people, like go to a courthouse to get a warrant dismissed so that they could travel the next day. I've had to. I've had
a stripper pole in one of my boss's houses.
Like, for the real world explosion, when the exes came in, the first basically season that real world had done in a while that was totally different.
Right.
I was the person that was calling and convincing the exes to come on.
Oh my god, what was that like?
It was insane. They're all on my phone, they're texting me. I mean, you just.
So did the people that were on the show, did they let, I mean, they obviously, so when you get cast, you have to, is it secret that they're on Real World filming?
The exes didn't know.
They didn't know. So
no.
You would call and be like, hi, my name's Alexis.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm working with your ex-boyfriend. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about the relationship and get an understanding as to what happened and why. And then they open up to us. I mean, that's another thing.
People tell you everything.
We know all secrets about every person that we've ever probably cast on a show. Yeah. People are so willing to, and that's another thing that it makes us sound like we're sociopaths, but we're not. Maybe we are a little bit. Maybe we have like sociopathic tendencies. We're very much manipulators, but we're able to like really talk to people to get them to trust us to basically do what we want them to do.
People think I care about them.
Really?
Like I, this is my job.
We're getting paid for this. Yeah. I mean, there are some people, I will say, there
sure.
are certain shows,
you can be
I think that the hard,
in a person.
The hard shows, the, you know, Catfish, not so much, Dating No Filter, not so much, but you know,
I'm on Super Nanny right now.
Yeah, you become invested in their story
and
their
Super
success.
Yeah, Super Nanny's a whole different thing, right?
Right. It's my 600-pound life. I did something very similar to that show.
That was hard for you.
It was so hard. I ended up getting shingles.
Yeah, you did.
That was awful.
Yikes.
I was so stressed, and it was so overwhelming, but it was so hard because I was talking to these people, and they were telling me all of their deepest, darkest secrets, and they were showing me their bodies.
Ugh.
And they were
I can't even watch that show. That stuff I can't.
It was so hard.
Pimple Popper, I can't watch.
I can't do
like,
it.
Oh, I love Pimple Popper.
Oh, no.
Gosh,
of course you do.
Of course I do.
That's another illegal thing. You should not be allowed to have a commercial in the middle of my meal that I'm not expecting.
I agree.
For that fucking show.
It's the grossest.
They should have a disclaimer before the commercial comes on.
I love it. My mom and I send them to each other all the time.
Oh. Never send that to
Literally, my mom and I would be sitting there over Christmas just watching TV, and all of a sudden, like, because I love Little People, Big World. That's one of my favorite. I love TLC. Counting
yes.
On. I'm still a Counting On fan.
Yeah.
Like, still love all that shit. But then all of a sudden, Pimple Popper lady would come up and there'd be some dude with a big thing on his head. I'd be like, why?
Yes.
He shouldn't be allowed to just watch you like that.
But think about it. I mean, once they remove that cyst, his life changes forever.
I don't care about him all right. and his cyst. Wait, all right. Can I just a Little People, Big World thing?
What?
I.
You better not ruin shit for me.
No. It's that show's over.
No, it's not. It's coming back right now.
Oh. Well, I don't know. This was like 8 years ago.
Okay.
So, like, of course, we live here, see celebrities, whatever. That's
right.
Just our life.
Right.
But I was on another show, like a wrestling show, Tough Enough, and
the best,
which is my favorite. And one of our episodes was the wrestlers did a basketball game against the little people, the U.S. little people basketball team. And the...
Go ahead.
What's the son? What's... Zach?
Zach, yeah.
Zach was on the team.
Yeah, he was.
It was literally the most starstruck I've been by anyone. I was so excited. I went up to him and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to meet you. And I was like, do you want some food? I had to like give him lunch and I was like dying.
I did
Zach
the same
roll
thing.
Off.
The exact same thing. I was going to a commercial audition on Beverly. There used to be a commercial casting place right by where like Beverly turns into Beverly Hills right
yep.
around there by Cedar Sinai. And I was walking my dog before he was in my car before the thing, and Jeremy Roloff fucking walks out. And I was like, and like, I can see Robert De Niro and be like, oh, all right, that's Robert De Niro. That's really cool, but that's Robert De Niro, whatever. And
exactly.
I was like, hey, Jeremy. And he's like, hi.
Your voice goes up higher because he's smaller.
Like, because he's so little.
He's so tiny.
Yeah. I was like, how do you like it? No, Jeremy's the normal size.
Oh, yeah. He's the normal size. Really, yeah.
He's the normal size guy. And I was like, how's everything going? You enjoying Los Angeles? It's so nice to see you.
You're so nervous.
And then he was like, he's like, yeah, it's fun here, man. And I'm like, cool. I'm like, tell Zach happy wedding. And then I like went back in my car
tell
and
Zach,
drove off.
Tells what happy wedding.
What do you think this guy's gonna say? What? Some random dude I met on the street said happy wedding.
Yeah, it was that was how I was, and it's the weirdest thing. Like I want to buy Roloff Farm. I'm not happy that Amy and Matt are getting divorced, but I kind of am because now the house is going to be up for sale, and I want to buy
go,
the whole farm.
Swoop in.
You could.
I know.
Dreams do come true.
Well, it's because you feel like you know these people.
Yeah, you become attached. Well, I mean, that's another part of our job.
Right, and that's another thing that I want to get to. All right, so I want to get back to the psych test, though.
Yes.
So what I heard was that you guys give the psych test to them. Obviously, they have to pass.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I heard barely.
Barely.
Sometimes.
Depends. It depends on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it depends
like
on the
real
show.
Like, real-world rules, I heard... barely have to pass because the crazier these people are on that show,
you want that.
The more yeah. that people are going to want to watch
it. Well, and I think a lot has changed over the years. You know, I think that, well, one, people are crazier. But
yes.
Two, I think that there are limitations as to, you know, if someone is going to hurt themselves, then that is an absolute no. Never
right.
going to happen.
Right, because that falls on you guys.
Right. Or if they've hurt themselves in the past. Yes. That is a negative. Not going to happen. If there is any sort of like really like abuse and or insecurity from said abuse, also not going to happen because we don't want to exploit someone that is extremely vulnerable.
I mean, you've had people already in this. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of suicides. There's the woman who's the host of Love Island who just killed herself.
Yeah. Right.
Just killed herself a couple days ago, which is awful. Right. But then like there's been murders. What was that, like, Flavor of Love?
Yes, put his wife in, like, a suitcase
yeah.
in
yeah,
Vegas
and
or
put
something?
Her in the trash bin.
Yeah,
you like know what
something.
I mean? It's like, yeah. like there's these people are obviously on the verge of
right.
crazy.
Right. So, I mean, you
so
can't
how do you
predict
just,
that.
Yeah, but how are you, like if you get back, like, the, I picture it being from 1920s where you guys have a long thing of paper and there's all these, like, squiggly lines on it. You're like, they're just barely right. crazy enough.
So well, we don't see any
and
of
not,
those.
Well, I get to see the results.
Yes.
So on my end, I get to see the results of their test. But I don't ever get to see any of their information that they disclose to a licensed therapist because it's just like regular therapy.
So the licensed therapist comes out and goes...
They're not good.
Maybe good.
Yes.
Oh,
they are
really?
The ones that actually make the decisions.
Yeah.
So, and that also kind of helps us on the production side of things because we don't want to, like, we obviously want all of these people to be on the show. Like,
right.
When we find someone, we want them. They're our babies. Like, they're somebody that we're like, okay, this person could be amazing.
Right.
And we obviously would not put them on if they had some sort of, like, psychotic breakdown.
No.
But...
Right.
A therapist comes in and they tell us.
So does
a
each...
background company comes in and says, hey, these people have done this. You cannot move forward with them because they have these charges
does
against
them. So for you, you run a bunch of different production companies, right? Or you're like, you have a hub
CEO
for a bunch of, right?
of yes,
right.
of all three.
Right,
of
you have all three media.
Right.
But so do you guys have like a certain blanket psychiatrist
yeah,
that you
we
trust?
Use the same. We use the same companies. Every company is, there's like three total.
There's, yeah.
And we all in all of reality, not just all three media,
God,
but
that would
in
be
all
such a
reality.
Crazy cool job to
right?
have. Just being a psychiatrist to say yay or nay whether you're good enough for reality TV.
Yeah, and they do like a full on. I mean, it's a giant test
you
that they
a,
take.
Yeah,
they
a
do a psych
first.
Interview on. They actually have to be interviewed by a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and they give the results to our legal team.
I was going
to
say,
I mean,
yeah,
that's
it comes
another
from
thing.
Legal.
It comes from our legal department. Like I would never have any access to someone's private
records
information.
Right.
Because of the Privacy Act.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But so it's just crazy because then it's like you see these people and literally the main thing that everybody says when they're watching reality TV is where the fuck do they find these people? Right?
Yep.
And then so you do Top Chef and Big Brother.
I did, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So Top Chef is obvious. You just go and find their like the biggest culinary people in the world that have
absolutely.
Like some sort of good attitude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what chefs are. A lot of them are dicks, and they don't really want to do this because a lot of them, I mean, I'm being very whatever, but the level of chef that we want on Top Chef, are some are arrogant and yeah. they think that they don't want, they, you know, they're better than TV. So mm-hmm. it's getting that level of someone that is amazing at their craft and actually having a personality. That's the same thing like on Project Runway. You have to get like super talented designers, but also aren't the most boring people in the world, right. you know? And those are the shows that are, they're not difficult because those are big shows that like people want to be on. But it's hard to find someone that is super talented and mm-hmm. like have a personality.
Right.
Especially
with a craft like that.
Yeah. Right. With a craft.
Exactly.
Do you know I submitted Bo? So Bo Clark is our mutual friend of ours who's on Vanderpump. The most, I would say he's probably the most loved reality boyfriend on TV.
Seriously,
right now,
everyone's right? loving him. And they're so sweet on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and we love him just in real life too. Yeah. You know, because he is that person.
But he's that person, life. But he's always hated reality TV.
Always.
And now
always. It's hilarious.
But I submitted him for Big Brother.
Shut Stop up, really.
It. Because he would win that
he
shit.
He would have totally won it.
I love him.
I feel like you would have gone with him and had the ultimate bromance as well.
They would have broken us
what
up
was,
real quick.
Who were the two that were the best friends that were hilarious on Big Brother like 7 seasons
oh,
ago?
Oh, was it Boogie and yes, Dr. Yes, whatever yes, his name is?
Yeah. Yes.
No. Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
No.
She was on that? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
She had a bromance with
Dr. Quinn.
I love
yeah,
her.
Yeah, but so I submitted him, and I didn't tell him I submitted him. And all of a sudden, he sent me a text with like a picture of his email that said, hey, Bo, this is the producers of Big Brother. We're so happy to have your submission. We'd love to set up an on-phone interview with you and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what the fuck? I'm like, dude, you will win.
Yeah,
you will win because it's that kind of personality yeah. that goes on that show and like does really well. Because
exactly.
you're kind of like outgoing, but you're kind of manipulative, but you're kind of like hidden.
My husband in the other room would be the perfect reality show.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he would.
Yeah. He would, and he hates like, the fact that he married someone is. In casting. Yeah, yeah, he's a manipulator.
Oh, my God.
Charming.
That's right. He could never do it, could he?
He could, no, he could never do it because he's married to me. He hates it. That's like the.
Wow.
I think that was possibly a deal breaker in his mind.
He's like, oh, crap.
He would be so good at all
he
those
would be
shows.
So
even like
good.
Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
He would
yeah.
be like the middle, no offense, boss,
yeah.
but he would be like the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Yes.
He would just kind of like lay
yes.
low for
he
a while.
He would lay low.
People would love him.
He's unassuming.
People would be really like happy just being his friend.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
He would listen to every conversation that everybody's having and then would come out with the fucking like athleticism and
right.
like start winning shit at the end.
Well, and like trivia, he's like Rain Man when it comes to sports, when it comes to music, when it comes to any like fact he knows. It's like he has some sort of photographic memory. He's Good Will Hunting.
So do you, when you guys are
wow
yeah wow that's a big endorsement.
I would never
I
that's
know
why you married him
but that's what I'm
no
saying
one else would think that
Good Will
good
Hunting was working as a janitor at MIT
yeah.
Boz would do the same thing. He would be like working not as a janitor most likely. Maybe I don't
maybe.
Know
maybe
probably not
maybe
he doesn't
not a
like
janitor.
To clean that much yeah.
I haven't really seen him ever bend down to pick up anything. But so Big Brother is another example of like you have to find a really big balance of crazy, entertaining, and then also like because you see these and gameplay
that's
and,
really,
and intelligence.
That's really that's like one of the biggest things when we interview these people is what's your gameplay?
Yeah,
okay,
what's your strategy
so
gonna
when
be?
You, also now here's another question I have. Are you guys watching The Bachelor?
I didn't watch the last episode, but I am.
I don't watch it.
Okay, that's fair. You're not like everybody else in America, but that's fair.
I mean, I honestly can. I could probably tell you a little bit about what's going on because I
don't
see
have Victoria. There's this girl Victoria F that's on it right
That's
now.
What I've recently heard about.
Right now, so she got in a lot of trouble because of this White Lives Matter
yes.
thing. You
right.
heard about that,
yep.
right.
right?
Yep.
And then you heard about all her fucking like. Sorry, Mom. My mom told me not to use the word fuck anymore, but I'm.
Stop.
I keep using the word fuck. I don't know why.
Yeah. I can't stop saying fuck.
I can't yeah. stop saying fuck. so but fun. She got in trouble for fucking like 7 of her best friend's husbands.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And that's the same one that went on a date with the musician that was, right? Isn't that the same person?
What?
That they
oh,
were
yeah, yeah,
in
with
the
Chase
concert.
Rice. Chase
yeah.
Rice. Yes, yes, yes. Same thing with Chase Rice. She, but so what I'm, so you guys are the ones that do that research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's who we are.
Yeah. You
they
guys
know.
Are the ones that do that research.
Yeah,
so like the White Lives Matter thing, how do you not find that? Or did they want that to be a thing so that it would be publicized?
I mean, that's hard to say. It's like, it depends. Because if we're doing that research, Because, like, we do a lot of social media checks now, especially. That's another big deep dive.
In background, when you do background, there's a page that is called Social Media Check, and it goes through everything.
Yeah, and there's other companies as well.
The background company does it.
Yeah.
How far back do you guys go, though? Because, like...
10 years.
There's people that are in trouble now on Twitter and other reality TV shows.
Oh, I mean, that was... And it was really hard, because I'd have to go back and be like, you know what? You need to go back and look at this post from 10 years ago. And they're like, how do I get there? And I'm like, I had to figure it out on Facebook myself on how you can actually scroll back that far.
Yeah.
And to remove it, you know, because it would either be something that someone would assume was racist or inappropriate or sexist. You know, there's so many lines that can be crossed now.
How do you guys do all of this? And this is just one person that you're doing this for, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people.
Everyone.
Yeah, we have a lot of people.
No, I know, but like you're – so like it's – so I guess another question I have. I have so many questions about this. You guys might have to come back and do another episode because I have so many more. I'm going to get home tonight and be like, oh fuck. Yeah. I wonder about this too.
We'll do it again. No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Once a week.
I know, right?
So, are you guys assigned... So, you found Victoria F. on The Bachelor, right?
Right.
And you found, I don't know, Hannah Ann or something, right?
Okay.
So, are you assigned to Victoria F.? And then she's assigned to Hannah Ann?
Yes. Yeah. So, there are people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you're not doing all of these people. You're not doing all 24 girls.
No.
Is there 24 casting people doing 24 girls?
No. Say there's probably, like, 4 producers and... Each one has an associate.
Yeah. So you each have 6 people?
Like, yeah. At least. That's
a tiny show.
Are you kidding?
That's a tiny cast. Been narrowed down from hundreds of people.
And we have to do that every time you go to, like, interview them to make sure.
Yeah, but do you do social media, like, when it gets down to the 24? Like, would you do social media background shit?
We would do it first. Just
in general.
Just in general. Just take a look before we interview to check anything. But then once it gets down to... probably the 50 or 48 or something that they bring out to finals, those are the ones that you do, like, hardcore background checks on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing, too. I mean, we wouldn't want to pitch somebody to network that, one, has been on a television show before.
Okay.
Or has any sort of, like, seedy stuff in their background.
Because it just makes it look like...
We look like assholes.
Right.
You know? Like, we're not going to pitch somebody that's not going to be able to be on the show. It's going to waste the network's time. So, yeah. We do a lot of deep dives. Again, like I said, we could literally work for the FBI.
That's what it is. Guys, if anybody listening to this podcast, if you ever need anything found out about an ex or anything else,
you call
don't
us.
Call a private investigator. No. Don't spend your money on that.
Call a casting person.
Find a casting person or anybody that you know in casting and be like, I need to know shit on this person. Yeah, Tell me everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, I mean, Meg, every guy I dated prior to marrying Boz, even Boz, we had to do deep dives on, you know, I mean, like, we do a deep dive.
That's insane.
For our friends, it's amazing.
All right, I'm trying to find out, Chrisley Knows Best.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on with them.
That's a lot, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Did you know, is this stuff that, like, you guys have to keep under wraps and stuff? Like...
Yeah, because I can't really talk about that stuff.
Uh-huh. I was trying to find something that you guys couldn't talk about.
I mean, honestly, I can't really talk about it because I don't necessarily know all the details either, but it's also, you know, a legal issue,
right,
which I would never jeopardize my job.
Are you still involved in that show?
Yes, our company is still involved with that show.
Okay. So, so you legally can't talk about
Correct.
It anymore. Oh, I wanted to know stuff. All right, People's Couch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome, which basically is like me in this podcast.
Yeah, it is.
It is like you.
Right?
You've been great on that show.
You would have been fantastic on that show.
I'll still do that fucking show.
It's not here anymore.
Oh, that was such a great show. Why did they cancel it?
I know. It's so lame. I mean, it was so fun to watch.
It was a fun show.
And honestly, the first season was fantastic. The casting was amazing on that. I did not get to work on that show in the beginning. And then the second season, when we had to, like, replace some people, I was on it. And it's really hard to find someone like yourself that's engaging and good looking relatable.
So sexy.
And just so
Alexis
has
had
single.
A hard seltzer before we started doing this, by the way.
Also,
just so you
also
know.
Single.
She's shampooed affected from last night when she went out.
Ugh, shots. But so it's finding someone that is going to be engaging and people are going to want to watch. And that's really hard. Because as you know, like, people are idiots.
It's so fun to like think about where somebody comes from. Like I'm watching I haven't watched American Idol in a long time.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Isn't it coming back soon?
It came back last night.
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh,
and wasn't it like somebody that was like a garbage man?
There was a garbage man.
I heard about that.
And then there was a guy from Nepal who just moved to Wichita like 5 years ago. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And what I was gonna bring up is a guy from Wichita because he's so good and he went to the open calls out there. You know, and I know that's a real thing.
Yeah.
But isn't a lot of that stuff now too, like send in your tape and people go out and find like YouTube people that like are unnoticed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a way of casting.
A lot of these big shows are like pre-booked.
Mm-hmm. America's Got Talent.
Yeah. A lot of big shows. Big Brother, we do our pre-books and then it's open call.
Is Big Brother more of like a reference? How do you pre-book Big Brother?
People that have applied. Or we find people, we go and look for hot people, and we're like, hey, do you want to do this show? And then we'll be like, we're going to be in Missouri, come out, and so you don't have to wait in a line of 500 people, we're going to pre-book you and have you come in at 9:05.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and that's like the better way to do it than wait in a line for all day long.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't do that though, right? You can't like purposely, like if there's a girl listening to this in Wisconsin right now, she can't be like, I hope Meg pre-books me.
No, I mean, that's why we still have open calls, you know? I mean, there's still the opportunity to
But are you backed? That's... Are you backlogged a lot and like people that you like that weren't put on certain shows, or do you just drop them after they don't make it to the show that you had them for?
Oh, no, we have files that we keep.
Yeah,
well, because I know Survivor and Amazing Race, like if you, I've known people before who have gone in for Amazing Race as a couple, and they've been like, they've gotten really far. They've gotten to the double tree, right? And then they've been like, you're great. You're not so much. Would you do Survivor?
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's the same kind of like CBS is the network.
And if
network.
We love someone, obviously we like, we'll keep it in our files saying they might not be a perfect fit for this show, but they'd be great for something else.
Yeah.
And that's always just a really good opportunity for people too. When someone comes in to audition for a show, it may not be the right fit for them at that moment and they might not make it.
Right.
But they could be on something in the future that we already are thinking about in the back of our mind.
I have another question.
Yeah.
And it's going to go back to The Bachelor again.
Sure.
Because now we're seeing okay, so well, we were all growing up. I'm way older than you guys, but you
not
know,
way.
I'm pretty good older than y'all. But like, reality TV was kind of up and coming then,
right?
Right. It wasn't as big of a thing as it is now. And there's so many different shows and so many platforms.
Yeah.
But a lot of the kids that are like home kids, a lot of the people that are on reality TV shows are now between like 23 and 30.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. That's like your basic age range that you guys go for, right?
Depends on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
But most shows.
21.
For a Bachelor, yes.
Yeah. Right. A dating show, absolutely.
A dating show, it's younger. It skews younger.
Do you see or acknowledge when this is happening, when people are coming in because they know they want to be on TV?
Absolutely.
100%.
Because it seems like people were doing it. I mean, obviously they were doing it to be on TV, but like The Bachelor now. These girls are 24 years old. They were raised watching The Bachelor.
Yeah.
They're not going on it to marry Peter Weber.
No.
They're going on it to be famous.
Yes.
Right.
90% of them.
Yes.
Right.
And this is where the Victoria F thing is happening, because I feel like she's like realizing that, oh shit, he might pick me.
Yeah.
Right. And she didn't want to be picked.
Exactly. Right.
She just wanted to go on and get famous.
Yep.
So now she's like, I have to start acting like a bitch so that he'll dump me, because if I just leave, America's going to hate me.
Right.
Meanwhile, she didn't know that America's going to hate her anyway.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But
that's
like,
that's part of this whole thing, though. That's the thing. It's the same situation with, they want to become famous. They want this world to love them.
Right.
And then at the same time, the ones that people end up loving so much are the ones that they hate.
Do you guys feel like you're a little jaded with people after doing this job? Like, do you look at people and kind of see them and be like, I don't like you kind of like produce them a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
I think that we're really good judges of character.
Yeah.
I think that we can like spot someone in a crowd and say that person is fake. I think we're really good at identifying people that are phony.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're very gullible. I think we are. I wouldn't say I'm not jaded.
I guess what I'm saying by jaded is like, do you even like have faith in humankind anymore? Can you just meet people and like accept them as people, or do you always be like, let me see what they really are? Do you know, especially in this?
I feel like I was always like that. Yeah, though. Right. I feel like from the beginning of time, since I was born,
I think that's why we like
really
this and are good at this
are?
Because we genuinely, that's like who we are. Is wanting to figure out what's really going on in these people's
minds. We're extremely inquisitive, and we want to know the makeup of a human being.
Do you guys, we're going to sign off now, because believe it or not, we've talked for almost an hour.
Wow, that went quick.
Right?
That's sad.
That's such fun.
It is, right? It's a fun thing. I'm going to have you guys back a bunch, though, because I'm going to get home and have a shit ton of questions.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine.
I'll be like, why didn't I ask that? Okay. But do you have any advice for anybody listening that might want to get into reality TV?
Like working in reality or
both.
Being on reality?
Both.
I think I'll take the working on.
Sure.
Like I think that if you want to work in reality TV, you really need to sell your skills as basically a stalker. I mean that you will go above and beyond to find the perfect person, and then you will not, basically we are relentless. I mean, you have to be relentless. You have to go in and you have to meet with a person. You have to follow up with several emails to get acknowledged. Like, look at this follow through, you know, I mean,
right.
That's somebody that we want to be picking up the phone and calling and finding people, you know, and basically beating the streets.
What if I wanted to be in your position and I actually just stalked you and found out everything about you and then sent everything about you to you and been like,
I'd have to take you down. With my own stalking abilities and my own background checks and my own psych desk.
Look what I can do if I did it to you.
And all of a sudden, Rob disappeared. I don't know what happened.
Flavor of love. What about you, Meg? What if somebody wants to just be a reality TV star?
I mean, right now at this time of our life, like social media presence is like huge.
Yeah.
We are now finding a lot of people on Instagram. And that was something that it was a way that we didn't have to do that 5 years ago, 3 years ago.
But how do you understand? Like, if you're just somebody who's like normal and not showing their butt every day on,
I mean,
from I don't know, New Jersey.
Sure.
How are
a
they?
A lot of hashtags.
Hashtags. We go through their followers. We go through the people they're following.
What do you mean hashtags?
Like, I'm on Super Nanny right now, so. We're looking for. I was
hashtag
looking for lesbian
fail.
Moms and gay dads and stuff like that.
You're looking for what?
So, like gay dads, gay families, and everything.
And what moms?
Lesbian moms.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you know we look up like hashtag like gay parents, hashtag whatever. And these are just people that are in like bumfuck whatever, just hanging out and proud of their family, and then
hashtag. Hashtagging is the wave of the future.
And like a lot of times. If people tag their location, we can go look at the location that they were at and then go see who else has checked into that location.
We've tracked their every move.
Oh, my God.
And go see, like, at a bar, who, like, tags themselves at this bar.
So you kind of, if you want to, all right, so basically what Meg's saying, listeners, is that if you want to be on reality TV, start leaving breadcrumbs.
Absolutely.
Yes. Lots and lots of breadcrumbs for us to find you.
Yeah.
You don't have to
go directly to them, because if you try and call and get like ask for Alexis at All Three Media, first of all, she owns a business. You're probably not going to get through all the phone levels that she has to go through, all of her assistants and everything.
I know. I feel like, should I be bleeping out All Three Media?
No. I don't think your boss is going to be listening to this podcast.
I mean, he's really into reality TV. He might be listening.
You know what's funny? I didn't think people were listening to the Lance Bass one, and then it was on Good Morning America.
I know.
And
he's
Let's
preemptively decide that this is not going to go on to Good Morning America.
No, let's say. But also, we are joking. Alexis does not own All Three Media
or think that
she does.
And I love working there and want to continue to be employed.
Yes. But don't call either one of them and say, I want to be on reality TV. Just start slow. You can actually make your own future of what reality TV you want to be on by leaving hashtags and or breadcrumbs.
Yeah, like Amazing Race. If they are like super travel enthusiasts or they want to go to all these different places, and they do maybe, or they dream of it, they'll tag those locations. They'll tag, you know, travel. They'll tag all of the things that we would be looking for.
You know, it's my ultimate dream to do Amazing Race. I made a submission video with Ike Pion. Him and I made a submission video, and we like sent it in. and everything. We had a whole story. It. Really?
Yeah.
I would die to do Amazing Race. Die.
That's like the ultimate number one show that I get, like, people from back at home.
Yeah.
Will be like, Meg, what about Amazing Race?
Right. Yeah, because, everybody wants to travel the world for free and do that shit.
Well, and like, it's also non-threatening.
Right.
You know, yeah, you're not going to be labeled as crazy.
Not crazy, or you can go crazy.
But you're not going to be hooking up with somebody in a bedroom necessarily.
It's the only show that wouldn't like ruin my career. I wouldn't be that guy from Amazing Race.
Exactly. Right.
I would be that guy from Big Brother. I'd be that guy from Survivor, but I wouldn't be that guy from Amazing Race.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the way you guys do it. Girls, I can't thank you enough for doing this for me. It was very educational for me. I loved every second of it. I'm going to have you back.
Let's do it.
To ask more questions. And if you guys think of anything, you're like, ooh, Rob would probably like that. Text me and we'll do it. We'll do it again.
We had no expectations coming in, so now we know.
I had no expectations coming in.
This fabulous.
Except that I just knew that I was...
Zero expectations here.
Now I know what BTS means, and now...
I mean, exactly. The Korean band.
All right, guys, remember, if you enjoyed this show, please subscribe. We are available on your favorite directories such as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeart. You can find us at Believe.com and at Believe Podcast, BLEAV Podcast. Please rate the show on iTunes and follow me at Forever's Evers, Foreversevers. You guys want to throw your hashtag, your Instagrams out there or anything?
Meglax8 is my Instagram. MEGLAX and the number 8 for my Instagram.
Mine is Alexis Jones Boswell, the longest
name ever.
Name ever. ALEXISJONESBOSWELL.
There you go. Guys, thank you so, so much again. I really appreciate it. This was awesome. And I'll see you guys soon. And guys, remember, reality TV, it's realer than real.